With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Cristiano knows the script and Big Tom Tooks is ripping up his. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday, the 30th of September. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm the Dude Shooter Hunter Raja.
Yesterday actually felt to me like the first day of the football season because of the weather. Didn't you feel like there was that it doesn't really start until there's that little hint of cold in the air? There's a bit of frost in the morning. I don't think there was frost, but you know what I mean?
I think the edge has come off the first day of the football season weather. It used to be unrelentingly hot, despite the fact of what the rest of August was like, but it's not like that no more.
No.
It's the starting at 7:30, 8 p.m. kickoff in light. That to me is the end of the season. That marks, we're coming back. And we're a 5:30 p.m. game that starts in light and ends in night.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's it did feel there was quite a chill yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this morning, I hate it actually.
You hate it?
Even though my wardrobe is skewed towards autumn and winter.
Mine too, actually. Interesting.
I don't really like it, yeah.
Yours also, Borg.
One for the listeners there, reading Andy's jumper.
If you're really committed, you'd, I don't know, watch all of the little social media clips with great detail really before you listen to the
podcast.
If you're
really committed, you would have taken the day off work and be looking with a telescope or a long lens
please don't
through
do
the
that.
Studio
please
window.
Don't.
I've always wondered, actually, if, you know, we haven't told people where the studios are, but do you remember Total Request Live when they used to, you know, be outside the window with signs and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So Kate won't know what Total Request Live was, but basically it was a music show where they'd have like guests in and they'd play songs throughout on MTV and you'd have loads of like teenagers just outside going wild.
That seems like a bad idea.
I think that might elevate the Ramble a little bit if you and I were like playing 90s R&B.
Yeah, I've always said that, yeah.
That's a show you're constantly pitching, so I don't know what you're saying. I've just come up with an idea.
Well, no, it's a bit like the Super League thing. If me and Rich pitch this, we will eventually get our NBA show.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
See? Say that in a hurry. All right, well, in the absence of that, should we get to the Champions League football from last night? Cristiano Ronaldo scores a winner, a vital winner for Manchester United. Vish, you must be cock-a-hoop.
Yeah, it was very exciting. It was quite funny as well because he looked absolutely shattered for the last half an hour.
Even though he didn't really do a lot.
No, yeah. I mean, the one moment typified it was when he gave up a ball that was slightly off, slightly off target, and Cavani chased it down from about 40 yards, kept it in, and United recycled play. But it was the perfect Manchester United win as they are now, in that they didn't deserve to win. They won it in quote unquote typical Manchester United fashion. Yeah, this is Manchester United, it's Old Trafford, isn't it?
Yeah.
And David De Gea was outstanding.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Old Trafford. But need I mean, say what? 2-1 the final score then.
It was, yeah.
Villarreal, the better side, almost
throughout. Without
went
doubt.
Ahead, first of all. Great little goal from Alcacer.
Yeah.
Lovely setup from Ono Danjuma. Absolutely loving the vision and the precision with which he provided that assist.
I mean, I did look at the way that Danjuma was allowed to run, particularly the first half, though, and think, you didn't watch that game at the weekend, did you? Because he had a really great game away at Real Madrid. Missed a few chances that he could have made the most of. Again, a sort of photo stat of last night, really. But when you consider Villarreal were missing arguably their best two attacking players, Gerard Moreno and Samuel Chukwueze, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
It still could have been worse if they'd have not had De Gea, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, they should have won that game.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. Like,
without doubt, they should have been 3-0 up at half time.
It's bizarre how many. Well, no, I suppose they didn't miss chances. Yeah, David De Gea had the game of the lot. I saw someone saying, probably on Twitter, let's face it, saying if Manchester United are good, David De Gea is bad, and if the other way around.
Yeah, that seems to be the way it's been for the last few years.
Yeah.
I'm quite enjoying this renaissance, actually, because I think you always knew it was there. People were just assuming that he'd just lost it completely. And it was just a case of, I suppose, it's hard to maintain that level of performance for a long time.
I always think the De Gea question is a really interesting one because he's never been rated in Spain nearly as much as he's rated in the Premier League. And I think a funny thing about him is his reputation as an all-time great Premier League goalkeeper is built on the fact that he does, or habitually through his spell at Manchester United, has done far more work than a Manchester United goalkeeper should actually have to do. You know, we shouldn't be judging goalkeepers on how many great saves they make.
Yeah.
Because if you're a goalkeeper for a title-chasing team, you should be doing nothing for 85 minutes of most games, really, shouldn't you?
Yeah, me and my friends used to call that the UC Askelinen complex. When he was at Bolton, people, you know, you watch Match of the Day and you're like, God, he's a brilliant goalkeeper. And then, you know, he moves up a level and has to play with his feet, or you realise he does actually make a few mistakes. And yeah, it does cloud it a bit massively, yeah.
So, Vish, what's the answer? I mean, they pulled off the win because Cristiano Ronaldo scored in the 95th minute. Doesn't seem like a very satisfactory way of explaining what
went
on.
Well, I mean, the goals sum it up, really. United have players that can produce individual moments of brilliance. And it was obviously there with Fernandez's perfect cross to Alex Telles for his first goal. What a way to equalise as well. And even in that goal, as scrappy as it was, you know, you've got Ronaldo's little knockdown, which was really well executed, Lingard, the presence of mind to lay that ball off. At first, I thought he had a shot and it was bundled together and it just dribbled towards Ronaldo. But you see, as he chases that ball down, that Ronaldo heads down, he has a little touch with the outside of his right foot to play it back to Ronaldo, basically playing interference on the goalkeeper and the defender. And then, you know, Ronaldo does what he does.
But I mean, everything about that from not just the touch off, but the moment where he seems it's coming to Ronaldo, Lingard sort of gets in the brace position.
Yes, he does.
On the floor,
yeah,
he like covers his head like he's going to absolutely blast this.
Yeah, and I think that helped for the offside, actually. Mm. Because, you know, Dale Johnson, who seems to be Twitter's offside czar and VAR as well, he made the point that because he was on the ground and the ball went in the air, and also he did his best to make himself as small as possible, and at no point did he seem like he was obstructing the goalkeeper, probably because, you know, Ronaldo hits it immediately, that it wasn't called offside. But yeah, Lingard did a lot there, yeah.
So the crisis is over. Is that what we're getting?
Well, if someone scores the winner and takes their shirt off during a group match,
that's a really good point.
It's probably still a crisis.
We know what that was about, don't we? That was about the Cristiano. Oh, I thought it was about the Cristiano boxer shorts.
Yeah.
You think he's pulled a Bentner there?
Have you?
I mean, that is harsh.
Have you already been down to your local Cristiano Ronaldo boxer shorts store, Vish, to lay your hands on some Ronaldo branded boxes? Because if you haven't, I've discovered where you can get them for $12.99 for a pack of three. That's right.
That's decent value, I'd say.
Sports Direct.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Are they compression shorts or are they boxers?
I haven't looked into them as thoroughly as my detailed
precision. Well, I think the fact that he's extended it.
Oh, you can get them in multiple colourways, though. There's only small available as of this moment.
He's extended it from CR7 to Cristiano Ronaldo, though. Hasn't he on the band? Presumably, he's recently watched Back to the Future, you know, where Marty's mum in the past takes him upstairs after he falls out the tree and gets knocked over, and she starts calling him Calvin because he's got Calvin Klein written on his pants. So if Cristiano ever gets knocked over, like, people genuinely will know what his name is.
I might start doing it with my clothes, just have my full name around it.
Why not?
Yeah.
You'd only need it once, probably.
Yeah.
They are everyday boxers for this.
Okay.
You can wear them every day.
Don't even need to turn them inside out. Just wear them in. Wear
that
them
would be
day.
Progress.
Yeah. Don't even need that. His 185th Champions League appearance, Ronaldo setting the record for the most of any player. So, yeah, some gorgeous stuff in that. Jadon Sancho, have we battered him? We don't batter him on this podcast. We don't batter people on this podcast, as regular listeners will know. But we have spoken about him, and there are lots of mitigating factors, injury and not having a pre-season and all that sort of stuff.
Not having a coach who really knows how to use him.
And not playing in a system, that's not going to help him. Yeah.
I don't really want to do the Solskjaer discussion because at this point, if you can't see it, you're never going to see it, are you? What you were saying about the individualities of certain players. What I found really interesting last night is that now Bruno Fernandes, as well as deciding that he's going to be the alpha of the team, despite the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo is there, and that's what needs to happen if this partnership is going to work for them and at Manchester United and for Portugal. Right now, he's just the coach. You know, everything from the bit where they're coming out to the second half. And he gives a team talk in the tunnel at halftime, just as they're about to come out again, as if, don't listen to that old shit. This is what we're really going to do. And he's talking throughout the whole game. He sets up that play almost as if it's a basketball play, the one that he lays on for Alex Telles, because no one else sees that. His vision is incredible. And actually, I think if you're looking for something positive for Manchester United from this, as well as the fact that they obviously ended up with a win in the end, there are little signs in there that they're calibrating Ronaldo and Fernandes. And that's what needs to happen for Manchester United to have even a semi-successful season. Yeah. Those two really need to click. I think the interesting thing for Sancho, though, is Cavani's such a massive part of that win last night. Everything he does, the hustle, all of a sudden they can't play the ball out as easily as they do before. And really, they needed that probably 15 minutes before United, if they were going to win that game in any other circumstances than the Hail Mary, which they did win it. And that was all Cavani's doing, the way he won the ball back when they were going to run it out. The fact is, I know Cavani hates playing on the wing, but with Sancho struggling at the moment, and he is struggling for whatever reason, Cavani has done this before. He's played wide left when Zlatan Ibrahimovic was in the centre at Paris Saint-Germain. Now, he didn't particularly enjoy that. But the fact is, if Cristiano Ronaldo is going to play every game, he's not going to play otherwise.
Yeah.
So it's his way of getting in the game. And I think it could actually work between the two of them. I mean, when Ronaldo arrives, you're thinking, what are they doing with these two like elite 30-something strikers? How is this going to work? And clearly it's not a plan, it's an opportunity. But I think in the short term, at least, it could work for United.
My only counter to that is that I think it's moronic if Solskjaer... But not the take. I think it'd be moronic.
Chop that out.
I think it would be moronic if Solskjaer insisted on playing Ronaldo every game, because I think we've already seen that he's not got much in the tank. And I think he needs to be smarter with how he plays, and we can't just call upon him as some... It's a Hail Mary, but it's a Hail Mary from the start.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what Luke was saying the other day about, you know, when you play Sunday League and someone shoots from the first kickoff, you're like, right, they're completely done. That's all they have. That's a little bit like starting Cristiano Ronaldo for Manchester United at the moment. And I agree with you on the Fernandes thing. I think the Fernandes thing is also maybe a bit of understanding from Ronaldo that he's, you know, during that last season at Juventus, there was clearly a moment where he had a realisation of like, I can do the goals, but I'm going to need other people to do the rest. And by then, he'd already alienated a lot of the other people. And that Manchester United, he's got a chance to be a nicer person, I suppose, if that's that's too simple a way of putting it on the footballing side.
The thing is, it's like Zlatan, isn't it? It can be as altruistic as he wants, but people have made up their mind about what he is as a footballer and what he is as a personality on the pitch. So that's not going to change. But I think he's been like that for a while. He's known he's needed help for a while. If you're expecting all the other stuff from him.
But no one is, right? And it's interesting that we've seen two consecutive nights of effectively these luxury forward players who don't track back, and everyone just organises themselves around that. And is this how football, this is the end of, not the end of football, but this is some sort of...
Does it matter if we all watch 90 second highlights?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why this has happened, surely.
Well, you've got to find, I suppose it's a little bit about the celebrity of football though, isn't it? Because it's almost like those big clubs can afford to take on someone who could push them to a different level in terms of marketing and appeal, and they just need to work out the other 10 around them.
Mm.
And also, I did quite like the way that, you know, Messi gets all the headlines on Tuesday, and Ronaldo's like, well, I'll just, okay, hold steady on it.
What did he even advertise? You score a goal like that and you're not even advertising anything.
He's advertising Paris Saint-Germain, Andy Brassel, as you well know.
I thought he might have gone over to the corner flag and, you know, had a potato-based snack or something like that.
Did we see how far Ronaldo threw his shirt in the air, by the way?
I didn't notice it particularly.
It's incredible. Yeah, there's some. I would urge all the listeners to check out the photos of that. It's so high. Like
Did he screw it up a bit?
No, he didn't screw it up.
How did he get any off?
You know, we were talking about throwing things on the pitch. No, wow.
Presumably, like when it's the 95th minute, it's easier because it's a bit stickier and heavier.
If
it's a first minute, well, no one pulls their shirt off after scoring in the first minute, do they?
In a group game. There you go.
Manchester United's latest Champions League goal ever, overtaking, yes, that's right, 1999. They are still third in Group F behind Young Boys, who they, of course, lost to, and Atalanta. We're going to get on to Chelsea's loss to Juventus in the second half, and we're going to just briefly touch on some... I was going to say an unusual result, but it's actually not an unusual result. Benfica 3, Barcelona 0. It's going to be brief, Brass, because there's a OTC coming out later today where you're going to...
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we won't concentrate exclusively on the misery of Barcelona.
No, because you've got to have some new material at some point.
Yeah. Apparently so. Jim told me it's cool that you don't need it, but... Benfica were terrific as well. And Benfica have been in terrific form this season. I think the amazing thing about that, of all the, our Barcelona really are in this state, like you look at the benches and Benfica's way, way deeper than Barcelona.
Luke de Jong.
All right, go.
No, but like...
I think Luke de Jong.
He doesn't even deserve to have a pun made of his name. It was so bad. I mean...
Is that the worst thing you can say about someone?
Maybe. But yeah, how far they done for... The one thing I did enjoy actually about that game was Adel Taarabt coming on.
Yes.
And it's nice to know that he's still around and enjoying a bit of that. But I mean... Some of those misses were comical. And the one at the end where he just hit him and hit the post. I like the even he thought, right, surely it can't go wrong if I just stand here. I'm not in anyone's way if I just stand here and still, oh.
They've had zero shots on target across both their Champions League games.
Yeah, I mean, that was
that too many?
Remarkable. Yeah.
Is that more than you'd expect based on watching the games?
But it's funny how people will come out with their takes over the following days of, you know, is this the worst Barcelona team ever? No, it's not the worst Barcelona team ever. They didn't win the European Cup / Champions League till 1992.
Yeah, of course.
And
this is a village team for ages.
Second village team for ages. I love it.
up until Johan Cruyff.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. And the Louis van Gaal second spell at the start of the century. Oh my God, what a mess.
Oh wow, they're going to get him back, aren't they? After the Dutch job.
Oh, I like it.
Oh my.
They're going to get a caretaker in. And it's going to be Van Gaal.
Well, that is the thing. You know they can't get anyone good from this point.
Yeah.
Well, they
Well, we all like Andrea Pirlo, but yeah, would we want him managing our football team?
No, we wouldn't. Apparently, Joe Laporta went down to the dressing room to show his support for the squad, but that's an interesting take because isn't he in a massive tiff with Ronald Koeman? So he's sort of probably showing whatever the opposite of support is.
Yeah, you can support the players and undermine the coach at the same time. Two birds, one stone.
It's beautiful. Koeman says, this is not the team of years gone by. It's crystal clear. There are a lot of teams stronger than us. Good analysis. Plenty more of that stuff to come on the continent. Barcelona Benfica will not be the entire body. There might be some stuff on that Wolfsburg penalty as well, but anyway, catch it today.
Just mail me the show plan, okay?
Catch that one today on Football Ramble Presents. All right, let's take a little break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
De Bruyne, De Gea, De Arby.
Every single time. Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Vish and Andy today on this lovely, whatever the hell day it is, Thursday. It's Thursday, everybody, the day before Friday. All right, time for some emails.
They're reading out your emails. Yeah, yeah. Originates from
We've received one from Adam West, honoured, who, on the subject of food being thrown at players, sent us an extract from the Shropshire Star explaining the origins of the Weetabix derby between Bristol Rovers and Shrewsbury Town. Somewhere in the late 80s to early 90s, a group of hearty gas heads, those are Bristol Rovers fans, by the way, got together and raised a heap of cash for a Gay Meadow away trip. Once arriving via coach, some £3,300 remained in the kitty for the Bristolians to enjoy themselves. So off to the pub they went, where they put £200 behind the bar. As the gang grew hungry and discovered the pub didn't have any food, worse-for-wear visitor was ordered to a local supermarket to acquire some sobering snacks. The story goes that he returned with £75 worth of Weetabix and no milk. So the following day, when fans and Weetabix arrived at Gay Meadow, the away following noticed a group of birds on the pitch. Kind-hearted as they are, they lobbed all their snacks towards the birds, and the tradition was born as the Meadow penalty area quickly turned brown.
Oh,
did it
give the birds diarrhea?
I don't know, but I think they're trying to harm these birds by throwing Weetabix at them.
Isn't it as bad as like giving a bird rice? Because it wouldn't expand in its stomach.
Is that like, you know, swans and bread?
He said there's
can you not give bread to swans?
You're not meant to.
Queen doesn't like it.
Oh, is that why? Is she a bit like, oh, no, hold on. Is she trying to tame them?
Quinoa only.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lifelong Rovers fan said it was all very good humoured. Most of it got thrown in the air when the teams came out of the pitch, but I do remember the Shrews goalkeeper being covered in the stuff because at the old ground, the fans were very close to the pitch. The Weetabix flew in the wind. Ever since, supporters have smuggled the cereal into games and began throwing it in each and every direction to mark the occasion. Adam added, I've personally attended one Weetabix derby at Gay Meadow back in the early noughties, and I have to say the spectacle of the Shrewsbury keeper being met with a hail of Wheaty briquettes as he came out of the start of the game was one of my abiding memories of following the gas home and away.
Adam, what a wordsmith you are. This is delightful. I'm interested as to whether... So it sounds like they lob them solid. They don't break them up and then... Because you'd think they'd get more of a kind of confetti effect if they were to break them down a bit more.
Yeah, but they're quite brittle. Presumably when they land, especially if they land on a person, then they shatter.
But they are quite big. I think it would hurt having a Weetabix thrown at you at full volume.
Really?
Yeah.
They're quite solid. Because you moisten them up with a bit of milk, don't you?
Exactly.
That's the whole problem.
Exactly.
They weren't going to eat, yeah.
Maybe you can do that. I used to leave, when I used to eat Weetabix, I used to leave them for like ages. Like,
well, so it gets really sloppy and horrible.
No, yeah. I like that as well.
Yeah, so
and sometimes
porridge,
if you put them in the fridge, they go all like cold and nice as well.
What?
Yeah. So you put the milk on.
Yeah.
This is one for the purists. Put the milk on, leave it in the fridge for a while. I don't know. It becomes all cold and nice. Raisins on top, sugar. Lovely.
Oh, so there's a bit more consistency.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Change of texture.
I don't know. I know. I'm no chef. Email us, show@footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble with your favourite foodstuffs to throw at players. Juventus beat Chelsea then. 1-0 the final score. Chiesa scoring a lovely one. 11 seconds after half-time. Tommy Tuchel. I like the way he talks about football. We all do. We all enjoy his post-match and the way he tries to provide insight in a quite... I think, Brass, I know you have like certain opinions about Tuchel, but my favourite thing about him probably is the way that he sincerely, it seems to me, tries to answer questions about football with detail, right?
Yes.
He tries to properly... He doesn't just sort of toss it off. We gave it 100% and all that stuff.
There's not enough passive aggressiveness in it for my liking, but that will come in time, as we've already discussed.
But yeah, he effectively said he didn't really know why they didn't play better, and he's got a point. I mean, in the first 20 minutes there were probably three big chances for Juventus on the break where Chelsea just lost the ball, but there were those three big chances for Chelsea in the last 10 minutes or so. So Lukaku shot over the bar by 82. There were a couple of headers,
two headers
in the last minute, you know, in the last second of injury time. So what I can't tell is whether, Vish, that deceives about how much better Juventus were, you know, because they could have perhaps got a draw.
Yeah.
Or if that's a reasonable scoreline for the performances.
Well, it did seem that Juventus were more proactive, primarily through Chiesa.
Mm.
And that, I don't know, I suppose Chelsea's issue that maybe was highlighted a little bit at Stamford Bridge and a little bit here, you know, it's too much to say that this is some kind of crisis, but
no, it looks like a crisis.
But it did look like they were lacking a bit of something extra, and we've seen that teams have tried to double up on Lukaku in a way. Spurs actually did it quite well in that first half, whereby they they kind of either get tight to him or they try and stop any of his his layoffs here and there. And Juventus just did a better job of that as well. Locatelli was pretty good at, I suppose, being the stopper in that regard. But then, yeah, they just didn't seem to have much elsewhere. I mean, like, I love Aspilicueta. I don't think, putting him as the right wing back seemed a bit tame, really. And I suppose, bear in mind, they did have a few injuries going into this. But yeah, I think it's something that Tuchel is going to have to do better, I suppose, be a little bit more expansive around Lukaku.
But they've not played with enormous fluency for a lot of this season. And we've, I don't know if people have chosen to ignore that because of the results or they're still taken up in the return of Lukaku. You know, you go back to the Zenit game, which was really, minimum service. You look at the Villa game in the Premier League where Villa kind of outplayed them for a lot of that game. And because you've got Lukaku, it puts the game away in the blink of an eye. Lukaku got, one good chance yesterday? One that you would expect him to snap up, and it was a pretty easy save for
Szczesny. You talking about the 7 minutes in one, or are you talking about the one...
The one
he blazed over the bar, didn't he?
Yeah, the one nearer the end where Szczesny actually has to make a save, but it's not... A difficult save of any capacity.
Apparently that one, the shot on, because obviously that's not on target. So there was one shot on target. The only shot on target that Chelsea have had in their last two games.
Yeah, not great.
Well, so, one of the players that they've clearly missed in terms of adding like a different threat is Mason Mount, obviously. And they looked quite static yesterday. And Mount at least gives you a bit of progression with the ball at his feet. So... Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we should probably just celebrate Juve, really.
Yes.
Because, we were talking about Ronaldo before and you see how they've merged.
Lovable Juve. Let's celebrate them.
Come on, let's give them a little run out. Max Allegri says, usually when sailors are in stormy seas, they can always find a way out. I mean, not always. Obviously.
We don't hear from the ones who don't. Yeah.
History written by the victors, eh? That's what we did tonight with a great game against the champions of Europe.
I mean, the thing is, they could justify playing any way they wanted because they had no Dybala and they had no Morata. On the other hand, Allegri never needs that justification because he's the personification of the Juventus. The only way is winning and nothing else matters. But when you do have players like that out, it does cut you a bit of slack, doesn't it?
Does indeed, yeah.
27% possession, but Leonardo Bonucci, you've got him. You've got to flaunt him.
Are you saying that they just thought, like, actually, we don't need the ball. You come at us and then we'll do well. Yeah, fair enough. Although, to be fair, so like Bernardeschi should have scored.
Yeah,
he had a great chance.
Yeah.
When Cuadrado
stuck it over the bar.
Well, he stuck it wide. He didn't really get a good enough contact.
He stuck it somewhere not relevant.
Yeah, but that was,
But it was his assist, wasn't it, for the goal? And that was
That was a pretty tidy finish, yeah. It's weird seeing Chiesa again and thinking, no, I liked you and then I didn't like you for a little bit in the summer.
You bring out the fucking Euros again. What is
this? I can't get over it.
I
yeah.
It's I, just, know. It's I actually
just
do.
Any kind of Italy and England tete-a-tete is always going to bring it back. Yeah.
Yeah. You can enjoy it, but with a sort of pained expression on your face.
Yeah. As soon as you recognise it and you remember where you recognise it from, you're like, oh, no.
Chiellini was being a bit weird beforehand, wasn't he, about Jorginho. He said he should win the Ballon d'Or. I hope he'll be able to win. It's an award that would feel like it was mine.
Would he be in with a shout for it? A lot was made of him during the Euros. I suppose it would be purely for the Euros, wouldn't it? But
I would still be fine with that. I think it would just be such an interesting step away from the Ronaldo-Messi years.
Yeah.
When Ballon d'Or contention is only really recognised in... like statistical ways, I think is quite sad, really. I think, I've talked about it enough times. I'm not really asked about individual awards, but I think if you're going to have them, it should make some sort of effort to acknowledge the beauty of the game and the way we enjoy it as fans. I think that should be really important. So, like, when we talk about the great players who didn't win it down the years, when you think of a Xavi moment, for example, it would have been lovely for him to win it. And I'm not putting a particular year on it because, he authored so much of the beauty of the football of that era.
Yeah.
And I think that's super important.
So similarly, do you see Jorginho as, would Jorginho fulfil that criteria then?
Offer his penalties, absolutely. Absolutely.
It was announced this week that Italy, because we're on them, thanks Fish, will play Copa America champions Argentina in the first ever Copa Euro America clash. Are we having that, Brass?
Well, it's clearly the thin end of a certain sort of wedge. But the game in itself doesn't bother me. It's what it implies that I find a little bit concerning.
What happens next?
Well,
Pangaea Invitational.
Is that the true death of football derby?
An expanded competition, big arguments between FIFA and UEFA about what happens next, some sort of horrific compromise that wrecks the future of football. Do you want me to go on?
But this is how it happens. So
it's implicit.
It's absolutely thin in the wedge, because when we end up having those arguments later, we'll be like, yeah, but we already have the Copa Euro America. You know, what more do we need?
Yeah. And it is the stupidest name. And to have a name that stupid when it's not sponsored is quite an effort.
Let's get into some purity, shall we? A little glance into the championship. A bit more pure football is what I'm on about. Fulham beat Swansea 3-1. Alexander Mitrovic scoring a 33-minute hat-trick. But really, we're referencing this, I feel, because of what former Fulham player Ryan Babel has been up to. Have you heard his new rap single? Is this something I should have heard, Bish? Open letter.
Yeah, I mean, he's not bad.
Come on, man. He's no Memphis.
No, he's no Memphis.
Yeah, but it's not like a hierarchy of footballers and stuff, is it?
No, it absolutely is, yeah.
Oh, it is. Good point, Brass. It's like a hierarchy of footballers.
Royston Drenthe was, he was all right as well. He was quite dark. Like a lot, he was quite an angry rapper.
I've mentioned this before, but I think the funniest thing I've ever seen on football-based television was in the days of the late, great Revista de la Liga, when Guillaume Balague went to interview Royston Drenthe at the training ground at Hercules, I think it was, he was playing for at the time. And Balague said to him, do you fancy spitting a couple of bars for us, when they're on the side of the training pitch? And like, without even missing a beat, he was straight into it. And Guillaume sort of stood there, head nodding.
Oh, no.
It was amazing. I loved it.
Oh, my. Oh, no. Do you remember when Revista used to do a roundup called Guapa?
Yes.
Where it would just be clips, and every now and again, Kim Balaga would come on the screen and just go, that's guapa.
Well, the key lines in here seem to be the dig that he snuck in about his former Netherlands teammate, Iram Efalai. He says,
You are. Do it.
I don't know how it goes. So, now you're an analyst. So heard in the corridors you're broke, bro. You shout things, you don't think about the bro code any mo, I guess. But I understand if your career is deadlocked.
I think it's originally in Dutch, so I don't think I don't think that any mo is an issue.
I
despite your attempts to rap there, mate.
I was gonna tell you that it's clearly in Dutch. But you started and I thought, no, let's see how she adapts this. It was like, yeah. It's like.
I mean, like, to be fair, neither of us offered to beatbox for her.
No, we didn't.
Which is pretty shitty.
That was quite a thing.
They don't make you do that on Sky Sports.
I didn't realise there was beef between Afflai and Babel, but is it purely...
Afflai.
He said, I know him as a very nice boy.
And also, one of his co-pundits said, I don't think he is broke. He's got like three really blinging cars in our car park.
Really?
I mean, I don't know how he brings three cars to work.
Yeah, why has he done that?
But still.
Well, it suggests he can't pay for parking back home, so he might be quite broke.
Is it like you, where you have one car to take you home, one car to take your dinner home?
Oh, yeah. Well, my Amazing Race Uber Eats thing.
Yeah.
I suppose I could see it like that, yeah. I wonder if Afflai's doing a bit of a Tyson here. Remember when, like, back in the day... Before Tyson got broke, when he would just pull up on the side of the road and get out, couldn't be asked finding a parking spot, so would give it to whoever's walking by. He would literally just hand over his car and he's like, oh, you can have it.
I think Jermaine Pennant did something similar at Zaragoza train station, didn't he? But I think he just genuinely forgot that the car was there.
I've done that before. I've parked in a train car park because I don't really do it, and I get the train back and I'll go somewhere else and I'll be in London. I'll get, like, you know, I'll get another train back and I'll, oh shit, yeah, I've left my car.
Your phone tells you where it is now, though, doesn't it? Derby got the third win of the season, 1-0 against Reading. Let's get into Garner. Do you guys remember Hashmin Musa, who went viral for scoring two own goals to prevent what he thought was an arranged scoreline in Ghana's top flight?
I mean, how could you forget that?
It was between Inter Allies and Ashanti Gold. Ashanti Gold's your team, isn't it, Vish, in Ghana? Anyway, he
only when Ja Rule's playing, yeah.
He and 17 other... So he and also 17 other players from both teams have been charged with match fixing. I can't... 17, though. It seems interesting that some have missed being charged with the match fixing, as well as the six club officials. But he was trying to fall on the match fixing sword, was he? Or was it a bluff?
So you're saying, okay, yeah, because obviously he and 17, so that's 18 players. So four players working on it.
Yeah. So and presumably, he's trying to blow that wide open, isn't he, with his goals?
Well, so he thought, yeah, but he was in on it the whole time.
Oh, I see. So you believe the law in this instance?
I think, well, yeah, yes. Are you outing me as a football knock? I don't know what's happening here. Yeah.
Finally, the Ashanti Gold president Kwaku Frimpong has taken exception. He says we have not done anything bad because we always beat people 4-0, 5-0, or 5-4. I would say that those are quite different scorelines.
They are.
You could argue.
Yeah.
This is jealousy, and they just want to destroy my name. Fair enough. Speaking of bizarre dealings, an amusing transfer story emerged from Turkey yesterday. Fenerbahce signed Slovenian midfielder Maja Zajac in 2019. They had to pay Empoli 3.9 million euros in compensation, but they lost the third and final instalment of the compensation. They, according to this, transferred it to the wrong bank account.
I've done that before as well.
They sent it to a car dealer. 1 million euros, Vish. They sent it to a car dealer's in the Netherlands. And they have, I mean, you know, when you send money to your friends, you know, they've like paid for dinner or whatever. And it says, make sure you check that you've got the bank details right, because this transfer can't
That now because of things like this.
Yeah.
I think
you'd imagine there'd be slightly stronger restrictions if you're sending 1 million euros.
Yeah, I guess you would think so. But this kind of thing has happened relatively recently. I mean, there was the whole Filip Kostic thing, wasn't there, with emails?
Oh, yes.
When he's still with Eintracht Frankfurt.
Oh, this, and they said, oh, we never got them. You sent them to the wrong email.
Yeah, and there was the implication, well, there was the allegation that Eintracht had given the wrong email address to Lazio.
Because then afterwards they were like, yeah, but you sent it to the wrong email. You sent it to Lazio@hotmail.com or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's .co.uk.
And there was the counter implication that Lazio had deliberately sent it to the wrong address because they didn't want to spend the money.
Oh.
Yeah.
The world of football, eh?
I know, yeah. So did they
the get world the of money? Fat fingers typing more like.
Yeah. So did they get the money back?
I think they did. They had to go to court to order the car dealers to return the money.
That's mad. Like, do the car dealers think, no, it's ours now?
You sent it
we'll
to
just
us?
Keep it, yeah.
It had their name on it. Well, it was just a transfer.
I think with Fenerbahce, I mean, you know, if you've got a certain amount of litigation going on, you know, one other case really isn't
Just bundle it up. Yeah. Just put it in the court bundle.
What is it now? We accidentally send someone 1 million euros. Was it hush money? No. Honest mistake.
Elsewhere in world football this week, in a section that I'm trying to instigate, which we're calling Faroe Islands News. Get on board, everybody.
I don't know if it's trying. You're just doing it.
Yeah. It's calling an audible.
Helen Lorraine Quatscher from England became the first ever female head coach of a men's top flight football team. She manages TB Tvøroyri, the oldest team in the Faroe Islands.
How did she apply for this? As in, like, was there like an advert? You know, like,
I don't know, but I have been, we have been chatting.
Have you?
Yeah.
What can you ask?
Because I think she went out there, because she's been out there for a little while. I think she went out there to do academy stuff, and I think she's been promoted.
Oh, nice.
Did she realise how big you are in the Faroese game? I mean,
maybe that's why.
She thinks you're just being nice. When you face her for the derby in 2 weeks' time with your own team, she's going to be right, Helen.
It looks
I know what your tactics are. Yeah.
It looks it looks incredible. The sort of, you know, the wide backdrop of this little tiny pitch and the little setup. I don't know what gates they get, but I think they may have to travel from quite far.
It did look incredible, yeah. That's why I wondered if it was one of those things where, you know, you could apply to, like, you know, just live on an island where you're the only person living on the island, but you've got to maintain it because they need, you know, basically like a guardian
sort
of this island.
Thing. Yeah.
So you basically just need sewage outflow, casino. corner shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Faroe Islands do have all of those things.
Yeah.
They do.
So that's why I want to live there.
So are you going to go out there? You should go out there.
Oh my God, that would be the coolest.
You do an at the match. Oh my God, you have to do an at the match.
Yeah. Do you remember when Manchester City played a Europa League match out there and they had to do the final leg by boat? Because there was no airport on the island.
Oh my God.
This is football. This is what we should have started.
I think Joey Barton might push a few overboard.
Let's flip this. Is there a way of editing this? So this is the top story. Forget Champions League match day two and the like. Tonight, more European action. Rangers play Sparta Prague. Spurs, I think, are playing. Sadly, Kelechi Iheanacho won't be involved in Leicester's trip to Legia Warsaw because his documents didn't match his passport. So he's been turned away at the airport. COVID travel is quite difficult, to be fair, but I imagine that a club like Leicester have a guy on this.
But I wonder if it was... I think this is a case of middle names.
Do you?
Yeah. So I reckon...
You don't have to put your middle names on, though.
That happens a lot with visas.
Yeah,
and stuff,
you do have to tally with visas and also
Can't
your
you just
tests
leave them
as
out?
Well. No, because so when I went to the Tokyo Olympics, I don't have a middle name, so the desk sorted me out with my tests and stuff like that and my other appropriate visas. But genuinely, there were 10 people ahead of me in the queue. I went straight through because there were 10 people ahead of me in the queue who all had middle names that didn't tally with their, you know, their test just had, you know, Sam something or other instead of Sam middle name something or other. It was genuinely terrifying for them. But yeah, it was. So it's a thing. Yeah, I wonder if it was that. Yeah, because he obviously had his passport with him. Because that was the first thing I went to. That he just left his passport.
It used to be a lot more frequent, actually, that players would get into passport difficulties. I remember a couple of Real Madrid players getting turned away from a game at Partizan Belgrade because they thought, "Oh, it's Schengen. We don't need our passports."
Ah.
So on the continent, not that I'm promoting one of the other shows on Football Ramble Presents.
You're entitled. You're requested to do that. Yeah. You've already had a whole segment in the running order for this.
But on the continent, that used to happen quite a lot. Players would turn up thinking, oh, it's Schengen. You just need your national ID card. And they actually needed a passport.
Mm.
Not suggesting that that's the case here. But
the whys and wherefores.
We were smart to leave. Can't even sort themselves out.
That's such a suitable note for today's show to end, isn't it? On tomorrow, it's Marcus, Luke and Jim in your ears to look ahead to all the deliciousness that comes this weekend. That's it from us today, though. Say goodbye, Visho.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Brass.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble pod of the Acast Creative Network. We'll see you tomorrow. Free Britney.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.